This is going to be another amazing 2 hours. We did an extremely amazing 3 hours last week on this subject, the murder, the assassination, the coup d'etat that occurred in broad daylight in plain view in these formerly United States of America. Last program on the 29th is available at Rents for your pleasure, edification, and downright jaw-dropping shock anytime you'd like to hear it. It's also available on ReverseSpeech.com at David John Oates' website, as will tonight's program be. We're going to do 2 hours tonight to pick up the remaining reversals from key players that we didn't get to last time. And to be with us and validate this, and who is still, I'm sure, smiling, at least inside, about the results that David Oates has found with Reverse Speech, is the world's preeminent JFK assassination researcher and writer, Jim Mars. Are you there, James?
Me?
What?
Me? I'm here.
Did you say C?
C?
Does that mean there are that many illegal Mexicans going by your house that you've been picking up the language?
No, that just means in Tejas, there's lots of Hispanic stuff. There's
well, Hispanic dances, stuff is fine, but music. Illegal immigrants, I draw the line.
Well, no, now, nobody illegal here. They've been Hispanics have been part of Texas history ever since once again, and his boys fought at the Alamo.
Yeah, I know. Well, they were here illegally too, though. Remember?
No, they were Mexican citizens, just like the Texicans were. We all
I'm teasing
told
you.
Santa Ana to take a hike.
I'm teasing you. All right, now. Just a comment or two, Jim, on what we heard last Tuesday. Shocking, jaw-dropping, amazing
incredible
stuff.
First off, I want to stress that the remote viewing that was done by Dez Smith and by Dick Augar has been absolutely incredible. But it's only one of at least five remote viewings that I personally know of. There's probably been more. Of some of the military-trained remote viewers who have looked at the Kennedy assassination, and what is gratifying to me is they've all said exactly the same thing that I concluded after all my years of study and research right here in the Texas area, and after having talked to many of the principals in the assassination, Lee Harvey Oswald's mother, his wife, Jean de Morenshield, the de Morenshields are last friends of them. A lot of the first-hand witnesses like Charles Brehm and Gene Hill and the family. So
dozens and dozens and dozens.
Yeah, and so it all comes to the same thing. It was a coup d'etat.
Yeah.
And this was carried out. The reason we don't know all about it to this day, I mean, if this was just Oswald, a few friends of his, or if this was even like some errant CIA agents, or maybe some Castro agents, or just some mob hitmen trying to get the pressure off the organized crime, like Kennedy and his brother were replying, well, we would have found out all this by now. It all would have come out after 50 years. The reason it's still being covered up, and all you have to, and it's not really covered up, it's all out there now. The problem is there is such tight control over the mass media today that you're never going to hear on this on CNN, CBS, NBC, you name it. It ain't going to be there because they totally control. There's now five corporations with interlocking ownership and directorships, which means a handful of people control everything we see and hear. In fact, I was contacted the other day, and somebody wanted to know about Disney. I started running down the list of things that are owned by Disney, and they just gasped. They couldn't imagine that there was that many radio, TV stations, advertising, movies, films,
newspapers,
studios,
you name it. Yeah,
you know, book clubs, you name it. All owned by these five corporations. And so you're not going to hear about this much anywhere else. But it just happens to be the truth, and it's the truth is everyone I know who is not somehow tied to the government, or who is not being paid off by somebody, or who is just not a drooling idiot, knows that there was a big conspiracy to kill Kennedy, and the reason that we don't know about it to this day officially is because it was done officially. It was done at the highest levels of power in this country. It's all come out now. Lyndon Johnson and his next-door neighbor and old buddy, J. Edgar Hoover, who ran the FBI And don't get me going about the FBI, because they're still up to this stuff. They are
more than ever up to this stuff, I
up
think.
Up to their necks and stuff. And one thing, for example, is we've all heard that Donald Trump talk about 9/11. When he does, he almost invariably mentions the dancing Muslims who were happy to see those towers go down. Well, folks, let me tell you,
that's code, folks.
It was Israeli.
He knows exactly what happened.
Of course he does. And he's covering. And the thing is, there's an FBI report now that actually covered all that, and it's classified. We can't see it. Okay, but the little bit that they have made public makes clear that these Israelis, who were then quietly thrown out of the country, and part of about 200 Israeli spies that were thrown out of the country within a few months of 9/11, and in this report, what they have declassified, and it's now public, one of the dancing Israelis said, "We were there to document the event." So, in other words, excuse me, but that means they knew it was going to happen. And this really needs to be looked into, but the current government, I don't know what the deal is, but, they're not going to talk about it. It's another cover-up, and I guess it'll be another 50 years before we find out the truth of what happened in the worst terrorist attack and loss of life in U.S. history.
Indeed, indeed. Jim Morris has been studying this. I think even before it happened. 52 years.
I didn't know it was going to happen. But
I'm kidding.
Yeah, but that's
52
true.
Years.
I think what your meaning is that it is true that I was, I met Jack Ruby and was in his club.
Now, it's amazing what you did.
Several months before all this happened.
Yep, that's what I mean. And you heard, if you listen to the program, the 3 hours, you'll hear so much. That you literally, it'll change your life. And for those of you who remember the coup d'etat, the brutal murder of this man, you will be finally at ease. You'll understand. Now, you could do so by reading Jim's book, Crossfire, which is the Bible. It explains it. But when you hear the speech reversals from all the principal players admitting that they were involved and talking about how it was done, you'll say, that's it. It all fits. It all fits. Dick Allgaier will be with us next hour, by the way. We have, again, put together three remarkable platforms here for you. Remote viewing, Jim Morris, who is an aircraft carrier in and of himself, and the amazing David John Oates. David, welcome back, and again, congratulations on the last program, and we're looking forward to more of the same tonight.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. It's good to be back again. Yeah, last program was absolutely fantastic. I've been getting emails all week about it, from not a negative email in the whole bunch, just praising, some people thanking me, saying, "Oh, I'm glad we finally know," And I was pleased that what I found identically matched what the remote viewing sessions had found and Jim Mars's whole research. And I started this blind when I started the reversals. So this is just the plot that I managed to pull together from the reverse speech. So wish I had more tape recording, but I'm going to keep on this for a long time.
So, well, very good. I mean, it's truly... what is the word, Jim, I want? Closure. It's closure for people when they can understand what you've done, look at Dick Allgaier's work, and now to hear the real-time voices of these people back then speaking in reverse from their subconscious, telling the truth. They were in it.
Well, it's been said before, and it's very true, that it may be too late for justice, but it's never too late for the truth.
Well said. Well said.
Yep.
All right, David, let's get going. So we have a lot to hear. We're going to hear reversals by some remarkable and big names tonight. Go ahead.
Okay. Look, I won't go over the ones we did last show, because you can go back and listen to them. So we'll just pick it up. So basically, the last show basically said Oswald was a patsy. That's what reversals verified. He knew about the plot 3 months beforehand. It was orchestrated by Hoover with full knowledge of Johnson, with key players in Washington all involved. And so what we'll do now is start looking at the key players in Washington, okay?
Very good. All right.
Okay, so the first one I'm going to move to, we'll just pick up back up from last week, and this is George Bush giving the eulogy at Ford's funeral, and in that eulogy he brings up the Warren Commission. So it was this reversal that sent me on the hunt for other co-conspirators.
Bush 41. All right.
Yeah, Bush 41. Here we go.
Even the dark clouds of political crisis gathered over America. After a deluded gunman assassinated President Kennedy.
And I played this reversal last week. I said, the crime avoided Ike.
The crime avoided Ike.
The crime avoided Ike.
And again.
The crime avoided Ike.
Well, and of course, how very interesting. Because
well,
it did. Now, tell us what you showed last time with Eisenhower.
Well, we're going to play the Eisenhower reversals.
Okay.
Yeah. So I thought to myself, does that mean that Eisenhower was involved but was never implicated? Because even at that stage, Bush was implicated as well as Nixon. I mean, they were all out in conspiracy theories for many, many years. You know, just have to search on YouTube to see this. But never once has there been a reference to Eisenhower. And so that got me. Researching Eisenhower. But before we go into Eisenhower, let me play the one other reversal from Bush on the Warren Commission. Talking about the Warren Commission, here we go.
And the conspiracy theorists can say what they will, but the Warren Commission report will always have the final, definitive say on this tragic matter. Why? Because Gerry Ford put his name on it. And Gerry Ford's word was always good.
This guy's got a comedy writer, doesn't he?
He really does.
God, it's amazing.
Because especially for what we know now is of all the people on the Warren Commission, Gerald Ford, who later became our only unelected president, he was appointed, you know, by Nixon.
Yeah.
And then promptly pardoned Nixon of any crimes, past, present, or future.
What a shock that was. Yeah.
Exactly. And so what most people don't realize is it's now well documented that Gerald R. Ford, that was his payoff, and his payoff for his appearance on the Warren Commission, where he was acting as a spy for the FBI, for J. Edgar Hoover, and reporting back to Hoover everything that the Warren Commission was doing so they could plan on how they could counter it.
Jim, have you been to my reverse speech page? This is exactly the plot I'm about to lay out.
No. I have followed your work, but I wasn't aware of that.
No, I was being a little bit facetious, really, but I'm just flabbergasted that me, who's known nothing about the assassination, is coming up with the same stuff you have. Anyway, this reversal says, and our man see the proof.
And our man see the proof.
Well, that's not very clear.
And our man see the proof.
Oh, yeah, it's there.
And our man see the proof.
Okay, Gerald Ford was their man. He was their man on the Warren Commission.
And that's not conspiracy theory. That's been well documented and accepted.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So there we go. Okay. So then I went and looked at Eisenhower. We did Eisenhower last week, but we're going to repeat it because I didn't play all the reversals and it was so quick at the end of the show. So then I went and found a speech that Eisenhower did on the 22nd of November, the day JFK was assassinated.
Mrs. Eisenhower and I share the grief that Mrs. Kennedy must now feel, and we send to her our prayerful thoughts and sympathetic sentiments.
And this reversal said he had to miss.
Yes, miss.
And as I explained last week, the alleged assassin, one of them, only one, he was a safety shooter, the way I understand it. James Files was told not to hit Jackie Kennedy. Okay, so there you have that.
So Eisenhower, for you listening, was fully briefed on this, although he wasn't a planner. He was told because of his stature, sure.
Yes, yeah, he was fully briefed and had full knowledge. So here we have a next one on Eisenhower.
We did not know the president was dead. We did not know when I got back here at that time that he was dead.
And this one says, there's a reason now.
There's a reason now.
There's a reason now.
And again.
There's a reason now.
I've been looking for the reasons. Haven't found many of them in reverse, except I know they wanted Johnson to be president. I found that, but I don't know all the reasons yet. But like I say, this is going to be an ongoing investigation for me because I want to find them all out. It's just a matter of getting the right audio. You know, that's right. Been the trouble. If I can get some of the other audio, I could get even more information, but I'll keep on looking. All right, so here's the next one.
But, matter of fact, we had the last message we had was one rather of hope.
He says, we sent terrible headache.
We sent terrible headache.
We sent terrible headache. We sent terrible headache.
Which, you know, that's exactly what they did. Horrible headache.
Yeah.
A big, big one.
Yep.
And then here we have the other one. We've got...
Will the nation be all right in the few months ahead?
Oh, I'm not going to predict anything of that. I just say this. The American nation is a people of great common sense.
And here he says, I bring it in a kid.
I bring it in a kid.
I bring it in a kid. I bring it in a kid.
See, my only thought on that one is Lee Harvey Oswald, who was 24, which to Eisenhower, he would have been a kid, you know.
Right.
So,
yeah. The American nation is a nation of great common sense. Except when it's lied to.
Yeah,
then
right.
How can common sense prevail? It's
right,
you get
right.
lied to over and over again, you're going to start believing it. That's what happens.
Right. Okay, so now here's an important reversal. This is, notice very carefully what he says in the foreword. I didn't play this one last show because we ran out of time. So listen carefully what he's saying forwards.
We are a nation that where our freedoms are allowed, or are observed in such a way that everybody is ready to, I mean, everybody is, you might say, capable of doing this if he's ready to put his own life on the line.
And backwards he says, now we're not.
Now we're not.
Now we're not.
No, we're not.
Now we're not. Totally incongruent reversal. Of course they're not, because they've just been overtaken by a coup d'etat.
Mm.
So, our freedoms have gone as of 22nd of November, 1963.
Yep.
All right. Now, here we have Eisenhower talking to LBJ. This is LBJ asking Eisenhower to come to his inaugural, okay, in December 14th, 64, this conversation mm-hmm. took place.
Now, to come back all the way just after we'd gotten out there and we had to get our children out for the holidays.
Okay, now the first half of this reversal is faint because his voice drops right down. It says, I made you, that's the deal. You hear that?
Very clear.
Okay, you're going to hear other references to the deal as we continue playing the reversals today. And I made you President Johnson.
Uh-huh.
I put you where you are.
Yeah.
That's the deal. I mean, that's what we set up. Okay?
Yeah.
And another reversal on Eisenhower. Mr. Ford.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. President, and I am most deeply appreciated as you suggest.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Only because of my concern for naming, strength, and health.
I understand that.
And here it says, just remembered, nurse the gun result.
Wow.
And my interpretation of this is, the result of the gun was that Johnson became president,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Eisenhower was just giving me a little reminder. Don't forget
yeah.
what happened. We made you president.
Take care of business. Do it properly.
Yeah.
Yep. So, there we go. So, I think those reversals implicate Eisenhower's certainly having knowledge of, or whether he was a part of it, I don't know. So, but certainly he had full knowledge, is what those reversals tell us. All right, now we have a good reversal, actually. A nice, honest politician, Harry Truman. And here's Harry Truman talking about the death of JFK.
He was a good man, an able president, and he did a good job. And it's too bad that those things have to happen.
And reversal says...
What an odd statement forward, yeah.
It is an odd statement forward. You're quite right, actually.
Too bad those things have to happen. Well... like somebody forgot
anyway,
to take the trash out. Jeez.
Yeah. Russell says, the battles that he had fought was our good spirit.
The battles that he had fought, the dead was the spirit. The battles that he had fought, the dead was the spirit.
So he's being nice.
The battles that he had fought, the dead
was the spirit. I understand that. Kennedy, you know, rightly, wrongly, truly believed he was doing things to the benefit of the public of this country. So right. You can see what he's saying there.
Right, yeah, yeah. And so Truman, who incidentally was a Democrat, is saying something quite nice about Kennedy, another Democrat. All right, now we go to...
David, can you... turn your, it's not bad at all, but you seem like you're almost overdriving the mic. If you could turn yourself down a little bit or back off from the mic a drop, I think would be a little bit better.
Sure, how's that? I've turned the
that's
mic.
That's not, that's very nice. Thanks, yeah.
Okay, all right, sorry about that. Okay, now we go to a man who's knee deep into the whole thing, Gerald Ford. Okay, so here he is in 1967, talking about the Warren Commission and was there ever a conspiracy in New Orleans? So here we go.
He was a good man, an able president.
Oops, that's not Gerald Ford. Sorry about that. Ford. Where's the one I'm looking for? This is one here. Here we go.
Was the possibility of a conspiracy in New Orleans ever even mentioned during the investigation?
Oh, yes. The Warren Commission made a tremendous effort to interrogate every possible individual who allegedly had any connection with the assassination.
And this reversal says, I
bet... Who was that, Gerald Ford?
Yeah, that's Gerald Ford. Yes.
Well, and it's absolute nonsense. All of you that are listening, if you'll think about the images that you saw there when the shooting took place in Dealey Plaza, most of you will recall the family that were laying there on the foot of the grassy knoll shielding their children. That was Bill and Gail Newman. They were probably the closest people to
the
Kennedy,
shooters.
They were in between the shooter on the grassy knoll and Kennedy in his car. They were never called to testify to the Warren Commission.
I hope they were left alone.
They were never called. They were called to testify to the Garrison investigation.
Uh-huh.
And then when they got to New Orleans, their cab got hit by a car, and it was almost like there was an assassination attempt on them. But then they lived in Dallas. They still live in Dallas, as a matter of fact, and they still tell the same story. Within an hour or so, Bill Newman was on television in Dallas and asked him where the shots came from. He said the shots came from up behind me, what you call the null. So, you know, he's told the truth from the get-go, and they were never questioned by the Warren Commission. There were 15 railroad workers on the overpass, and they all said shots came from the grassy knoll. Only one of them was questioned by the Warren Commission, and they said he was mistaken.
Wow.
So don't give me this story that they examined everything they could and investigated. It was not an investigation. It was a cover-up.
Yep.
Huge.
Well, Russell says, I damn the sheriff now. Here we go. Oops. Right. I thought he was referring to Jim Garrison, but it could be authority in general, you know. He's talking about New Orleans Force, investigating every connection. I damn the sheriff now. I'm shoving the official reports aside. I'm not listening to the evidence that Jim Garrison has brought or whatever. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so, all right, and then we have Ford again, and here he's talking about LBJ. Mm-hmm.
There were seven of us at the insistence of President Johnson. We came up with what I think are two very important decisions.
And here he simply says, I make you.
I'll make you. I'll make you.
Which is the same term that Eisenhower used. It's also the same term that Hoover used. Exactly the same words on three people, implying, I put you in office. I've made you where you are. And there's one of the reasons for the assassination, the coup d'etat, the change of government.
Pecking order. That's odd.
So that's three times I've heard the word, I make you. Hmm. Each time talking about Lyndon Johnson Fords. Okay? All right, then we've got a reversal that I don't really know what it means, but we'll play it anyway. Jim may have a clue, as he's has had with.
And who is this?
Sorry?
Who is this one?
Who's up next, David?
Oh, this is still from Ford. Talking about the Warren Commission. Okay.
A business which the late president knew had to be done. And who would understand the process probably better than any president we've had in recent years.
And bring this unit.
Bring this unit.
Bring this unit.
I don't know what that means.
Bring this unit.
I really don't know what that means.
No.
No.
Got it on my website as meaning unknown. All right, okay. Now here we have Ford talking about Garrison. Then we're going to move on to his testimony towards the House Select Committee on Assassinations. This is Ford talking about Jim Garrison. Obviously, he didn't like Jim Garrison, as you'll see from the reversal.
I can't judge the alleged reasons why Mr. Garrison doesn't want to turn it over. But I am amazed that any public official, any place in the country, would refuse to cooperate with the federal government in this regard.
And here he said, drag his sin out in the view.
Drag his sin out in the view.
Drag his sin out in the view.
Very clear.
Drag his sin out in the view.
And he's just having a go at Jim Garrison, why he did that, I'm not sure, you know, but he did.
Huh.
Okay. All right, now here we have reversals on his testimony to the House Select Commission on Assassinations. And the first one is an absolute doozy. Here we go.
It might have been helpful to the commission, but I don't think it would have altered in any way the final recommendations or conclusions. I think we might have been helped by that information, but I don't think it would have varied our commission's conclusions.
And here he says, I'm the sham that made it up.
I'm the sham that made it up.
Oh, my.
I'm the sham that made it up.
That's hilarious.
What can you say? That says it all, doesn't it?
See, he always had the patina of a rather simple man. And that is a grossly blatant truth. Just amazing.
Yep. Clear as day. Yeah, he was their man on the commission, according to Bush. And I'm the sham that made it up. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. Reversal says it all. The whole Warren Commission was a lie. It was a con. And Ford was into it up to his neck. As innocent and as nice a president as he seems to be, he wasn't.
No. Evil comes in all sorts of different packages, colors and sizes. And his was a rather simple-minded evil. Evil as it gets, though.
Yep.
All these people, excuse me, David. All these people, Jim, co-conspirators, they might as well pull the trigger. That's the way I look at it. They all had their hands in there. They all had their fingers on the trigger as well, whether either before or after the fact. It doesn't matter. They're killers.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely.
You know, under the law, if you participate in a murder, even though you don't commit the murder, but you know about it, or you drive the car, or you hide evidence, or you cover up later. That's an accomplice after the fact. You're as guilty as the person that actually commits the murder. So as far as I'm concerned, everyone who knew, especially in advance, and then even the ones who knew only afterwards that this was a big plot and that this involved lots of very powerful, wealthy people, you know, they're accomplices. They are, and they're guilty.
Yep.
And a lot of those people are still alive.
I agree 100%. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed, Jim, as to how closely what I found is matched up with what you found.
Because you're looking at the subconscious, which, as I understand it, really cannot lie. I've been looking at facts for 50 years, and so, you know, I think we just, coming from totally different avenues, we have still converged on the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
Well said.
It was
perfect.
A coup d'etat. I don't know why people aren't marching on Washington demanding they open the records.
Oh, Americans don't have it anymore, David. There's not much left.
Yeah, well, I'm just stunned.
These people are young.
If all this had come out in 1965 or 69,
then you would have had that.
Or maybe even 75 or 6, there would have been a huge uproar. There would have been perhaps even a revolution. But they've had 50 years now to dumb us down, drug us out, undereducate us. I'm not sure that we're just not the same America we were.
No.
Yeah. Yeah,
but thank God that you've done this, Jim, and now David's come in and the remote viewing as well. We can close the book on who done it now. We know. It's a told story, and it all validates each other. All the work is now a perfect match, and that's just incredible.
Yep. And like I said, I'm going to keep on going. I still got unanswered questions, you know. I'm just going to hunt down the right recordings, you know. So. All right, next one on Ford. He is on the House Select Committee of Assassinations.
The commission had an obligation to follow a dual policy. On the one hand, to get maximum voluntary cooperation from all federal agencies, including the FBI, and on the other hand, to be insistent that the agencies respond and cooperate wherever and however the commission demanded. The latter requirement may have led some agencies to believe that there was an adversarial relationship.
This one simply says there was a deal.
There was a deal.
There was a deal.
And again.
There was a deal.
Yeah.
Second time we've heard of the deal. Eisenhower said there was a deal, talking to Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we have. I think we had a deal too on Hoover, if I remember correctly.
I believe you're right.
Yeah. So there we go. So we got.
Maybe that should be the next title of my book, wrapping it all up. We just call it the deal.
Why not?
The deal.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know, if you did Jim, if you did another book on this, although Crossfire is the definitive work on it,
I don't think I could top that.
I don't think so. What you could do is a real short. Essay form and include a CD of these reversals in the book and the remote viewing, and you could that would certainly be a marketable product. Case closed.
That would be pretty interesting.
Case closed, the deal revealed. Whatever.
Yep. Okay, next one along. We're still on Gerald Ford. Here we go.
The FBI, and I use that as an example, undertook a very extensive investigation. I don't recall how many agents, but they had a massive operation to investigate everything.
All right, this reversal raises a couple of questions. Share with Bobby's hand.
Share of his hand.
Share of his hand.
Oh.
Kind
of a surprise.
I'm pretty sure he's talking about Bobby Kennedy.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I have set it as a class project for my class to investigate the assassination of Bobby Kennedy. So that'll take place over the next few months. So I don't know. There he is, it's Bobby Kennedy. I don't know what that means or anything, but there it is. Okay. All right. Now he's talking about conspiracy theorists.
Public acceptance of the Warren Commission findings has diminished for several reasons. Number one, the critics who have obtained the widest publicity have either deliberately or negligently misled the American people by misstating facts.
And here he says, idiots sin.
Idiots sin.
Idiots sin. Idiots sin.
He just doesn't like the conspiracy theorists, you know. Which I'm not surprised he doesn't like the conspiracy theorists.
Right.
All right, here we have. This is an interesting one. Jim, you'll have some comments on this. He's talking about the murder of Dallas police officer J.D. Tippit.
In my opinion, no investigation of the tragic assassination of President Kennedy can be complete without including an investigation of the murder of Dallas police officer J.D. Tippit.
And here he says, want to share the powerful, give doubt here. And again. Okay, so that tells me that the murder of J.D. Tippit is a red herring, and he's bringing it up to bring doubt onto the whole thing. Do you want to share the powerful? That's the cabal, the consortium, whatever you want to call them. He's involved in it. And why would the death of J.B. Tippit be a red herring, Jim?
Well, because they were quite effective early on in saying, well, Oswald must have killed the president, because why else would he have killed the policeman? But I would say today, in light of everything we know, particularly the fact that back at the time, knowing what I now know, I could produce three separate witnesses, including a man that went on, it was a young kid then, but he went on to become an evangelist or a religious radio broadcaster in Dallas, and the assistant manager of the theater, Butch Burroughs, and another fellow. All three of these people could have testified under oath in court that they encountered Lee Harvey Oswald inside the Texas theater just before and during the time that Officer Tippit was shot. So Oswald did not shoot Officer Tippit. And since at certain level they undoubtedly knew this, then see, they could have used the reverse argument, saying, well, since Oswald didn't shoot the cop, maybe he didn't shoot the president.
Right, I see. Okay. All right, that makes sense. All right, let's move on to Richard Nixon, Eisenhower's vice president, and right up to his neck in the whole thing. Okay, wow. So Nixon, let's go down to Nixon. Okay, the first one, unfortunately, is really bad audio. He's talking to his secretary. Uh-huh. I'll tell you what he says forward, because it's hard to hear the forwards. It says, sure, his head was really blown off. Then Nixon said they didn't say so in the news, though. And then his secretary says, yeah, they did. So here's the forwards.
Yeah.
Sure,
they didn't say so.
David, transcribe the forward again for us, please.
Okay.
What she right. says and he says and she says what?
Okay, right. His secretary says, sure, his head was really blown off. Then Nixon says they didn't say so with the news, though. Then his secretary says, yeah, they did.
And what is the day of this?
This is, you know what? The date wasn't on the date. I think it was when Nixon was president. The date wasn't on the recording.
All right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to play the forwards again?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'll turn the volume up a bit.
Yeah.
They didn't say so.
Yeah, they did.
And then Nixon says backwards, we just did it.
In other words, not we just did it last week. We just did it. It was something that was done and we did it.
Yep. That's right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Now, here we have a This is Nixon in Dallas the day before the assassination. Okay? And he gave a little press conference. Here he is.
As you recall then, we were going to do something about Castro in Cuba. We were going to do something about American prestige abroad and also about sort of permanent unemployment.
Okay, so here he is the day beforehand in Dallas, and backwards he says, "The crime that I bring, it must remove inaugural." Now remember we had Hoover saying inaugural hit? Here we have the crime that I bring, it must remove inaugural. You hear that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, same thing we got from before, inaugural hit. Kennedy shouldn't have even been inaugurated in the first place, these guys believe. Mm-hmm. And the crime that I bring, he knows all about it. He's in Dallas. And, I mean, I don't know, there was a rumor of some big meeting on the night beforehand with Johnson and some others. You know more about that than I do, Jim. But,
Guys, I think maybe both of those comments may be relating to a future inauguration. Because here was the thing. Even after the Cuban Missile Crisis and the Bay of Pigs and everything else, the polls in the fall of 1963 showed Kennedy was, had a 65-70% approval rating. Everybody loved him. And he was going to be a shoe-in in 64. In 64, being a lame duck president and having served already one term, he would have been in a position to really affect some changes. So this really worried the powers that be. And I think what they were worried about was another inauguration. He gets inaugurated, in 64. Then they're really going to have a problem. Now, think about this, too. His assassination was on November the 22nd, 1963, the very end of November. Had 1 month, December, the Christmas holidays, and they would have gone into 1964, the election year. Now, we're being election year, and we can see this from the context of right now, because this is election year. And think about it. On the news, on the radio, talk shows, the election is a big deal. So going into 64, the media would have doubled up on Kennedy. The public would have been focusing more on him. It would have been more and more difficult to pull off a big assassination plot. Their last chance was towards the end of 1963, and we mentioned on the earlier program that there appeared to have been an assassination attempt that was blocked in Chicago. There may have been another one in Miami. So it was getting towards the drop-dead deadline, pardon the pun, and they were towards the end of the year. They had to move, and Dallas was probably their last chance. Because it was the last stop, right after Dallas, they were supposed to go to LBJ's ranch down near Austin, and then for that weekend, and then back to Washington, and that was the last big public appearance that Kennedy had scheduled for that year. So this was kind of their last chance.
Wow.
All right. Well, it all makes sense.
Very good information and correct. Yep, absolutely correct.
All right. I'll update my conclusion on my website about that reversal now that I have that information. I didn't know that. Okay, all right, so still on Nixon here. Here we have him forward.
We find that on all of these issues there's been no action.
And this is still on Dallas the day before, and he says backwards, Mr. Bush is evil.
Mr. Bush is evil.
Mr. Bush is evil.
And again.
Mr. Bush is evil.
So there we got Bush in again. Is that Preston Bush or Herbert Bush? I don't know. But,
who was that recording again? I'm sorry.
That was Nixon, Richard Nixon.
It didn't sound like him. It sounded like he was too youthful almost.
Well, he wasn't. Well, he was still young back then. No, that's definitely Nixon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he just mentions the name Bush.
Yeah.
And this is about the third reference. We heard him twice last week, and here we have him again.
Oh, he was there.
I just couldn't find any audio on Bush up until I looked all over YouTube and the internet.
Uh-huh.
The first I could really find of him was his inauguration, and I did did analyze that tape and found nothing about the assassination on there. So it was a little bit disappointing. I would like to have some more reverses.
Well, he was a spook for a long time, and he knew probably not to commit to public appearances very often. He was keeping a low profile.
Yeah, well, he's certainly got no audio. The only thing I found on him was that Warren Commission one where I got the crime avoided eye. All right, so here we have Nixon. This is after the assassination.
Today, millions of people throughout the world are trying to find words adequate to express their grief and their sympathy to his family.
And here he says, I have secret here.
I have secret here.
There he goes.
Now, I bet he did.
Yep. And that secret comes out when Ford pardons Bush. No, Nixon. Nixon. You talked about that when we started. And I've got a recording on Ford pardoning Nixon, which links it direct back to the coup. So
The secret he mentioned there would be what, Jim?
Oh, well, any number of things, but probably the biggest secret was the coup that took place in 63.
In other words, he's letting on that he knew all about the coup, because I think he was alluding to the big, massive events of the past. Yeah, I've got a secret. I know what went on.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, his subconscious saying I have a secret, but chances are he had secrets, plural.
Oh, sure he did. Sure.
Right. But he's talking forwards about the assassination, so that's where the reversal links to on the complementarity.
Okay.
All right, let's have a look at President Kennedy himself. And we have some interesting...
Now, you told me that it was very hard to find reversals on JFK.
Oh, yeah, almost impossible. He was, I did about three speeches on him in a row one night and didn't find a single reversal. So,
that's reminiscent of George W. Bush, again was so invested in the scripts that were written for him. And I guess Jack Kennedy was really immersed in the message that was written for him by his speechwriters that his own consciousness was sort of pushed to the side because he was focused body and soul on bringing those words to life.
Right. What, does that mean that he, in his subconscious, at least believed that what he was saying was all true?
Oh, yes. You'll be surprised when you see his reversals. His reversals are very congruent. He was a very congruent man. What he said is what he believed.
Apparently, he really exercised strict oversight and control over those speeches, Jim, and that would explain
unlike some of the more modern puppets.
Unlike. yeah, totally unlike.
All right. Okay, so
about 2 minutes left, David, so you know.
Okay, we've got one more. Okay, we'll play one, then we'll move on. So here he is at the Democratic Convention, okay, once he won the nomination. And listen to what he's saying forwards.
We know that our opponents will invoke the name of Abraham Lincoln on behalf of their candidate.
Okay, when he says Abraham Lincoln, he says backwards, then I try to warn you.
Then offer I to warn you.
Then offer I to warn you.
Wow, perfect.
Offer I to warn you.
Interesting premonition, right on Abraham Lincoln, another president who was assassinated.
Yeah.
We hear, then I try to warn you. Isn't that interesting?
That's fascinating. And forward, he was also saying, we know they're going to bring up the name of Lincoln. So in forward, he was kind of warning people, too.
That's true. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was reading into it.
Oh, okay. Right.
He was really committed to what he was saying forward, and I think it reflected subconsciously. And I do think that's primarily what he was doing. It's a mirror of what he was saying forward.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. So it's a congruent reversal.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have time for one more?
Go ahead. Sure.
Okay. This is from his inauguration.
I, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, do solemnly swear
that you will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
And here he says, they'll be watching in that void.
Who's
they'll be watching in that void.
And again.
They'll be watching in that void.
Can you now, hear that on the audio?
Yeah, now, we want to go through that again. The person being reversed is Kennedy or the man giving the oath?
It's Kennedy being reversed.
Okay.
And he's aware that people are watching him. He's aware that his presidency is controversial. And as he's swearing the oath off, he's saying, oh, they're going to be watching me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I buy that.
Yep, that's the way I interpret it. Anyway, okay. One more?
He knew he had lots of enemies.
Yep. Yes, he did. That's how... Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's how I figure it. Okay. So we'll play the next one after the break.